Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
With me, Carly. Hope you are all well, witches. Kicking things off today, we have our book review, and our book is A Far Wilder Magic by Alison Saft. Here is the book's blurb. An intoxicating love story set against a mythical hunt. In the gothic town of Wickdom, Maggie Welty lives alone in an old creaking manor. But when she spots the Haller, a legendary fox creature, she knows the Half Moon Hunt will soon follow. Whoever kills the Haller will earn fame and riches. While Maggie is the best sharpshooter in town, she needs the help of an alchemist to be in with a chance of winning. Enter Wes Winters. Fired from every apprenticeship, this is his last chance. Maggie and Wes make an unlikely team, a charismatic but troubled boy and a girl who has endured life in a town that never welcomes her. But the pair are drawn together as they uncover dark magic that could be the key to winning the hunt, if they survive that long. We all know I'm often a real bar humbug when it comes to books with romance in. However, this is a beautiful romance with plenty of magic in it. I fell in love with Wes and Maggie. They are the loveliest characters. It actually seemed like a plausible romance in terms of how awkward they were with each other at the beginning and how things move along. Wes and Maggie couldn't be more different if they tried, but as we know, opposites do tend to attract. Maggie is a solitary, gun-wielding, quiet hermit type with her own family issues. Wes is an extroverted, confident, some might say cocky, but endearing, determined, aspiring alchemist who has a lovely family consisting of his mum and many sisters of various different ages. Scenes with Wes's family in are both heartwarming and funny. Maggie's story is heartbreaking. She has a narcissistic mother who has abandoned her for the last few months. Wes arrives on the doorstep with intentions of enchanting Maggie's alchemist mother into giving him an apprenticeship without knowing she is buggered off for the foreseeable. Under duress, Maggie agrees to take Wes in. He's come such a long way to get there. And a series of events take place thereafter, following the arrival of the Haller to Wickdom. This tale touches on many issues, from bullying, narcissism, through to prejudice through spiritual and religious beliefs. Despite all the odds, Maggie and Wes work together, and throughout the story, we see both develop in character and learn to accept and see how one strengthens and supports the other. This book is so atmospheric. Set in the autumn with many woodland scenes, this was just perfect. The author's writing style is very detailed, which also made me feel the story moved quite slowly in places. It is quite a long book. I didn't begrudge this, though, as I enjoyed the detail and knowing so much about the characters, which I'm always waxing lyrical about anyway. There were quite a few scenes that also had me chuckling. This story has many elements to it. The alchemy, the family issues, falling in love, rising against the bullies. And I believe the author tackled it all so well. Really loved this book. Such a different storyline and some great world building. I would highly recommend. Join me now after the break to talk all about soul contracts.
I think there's another universe where I haven't yet felt pain. And maybe in that other universe, I'm a flower and you're the rain.
So, witches, it's been a long time since I feel we've had a real heart to heart. How are you holding up? It's an interesting time after that solar eclipse, and a lot is happening planetary wise. Lots of people I know are really going through it, left, right, and center. I thought that something I'm going through would be a good thing to look at for this episode in relation to soul contracts. This is going to get deep. So grab a coffee or something harder. I mean, there could be tears. There could be my tears. There could be your tears. I don't know yet. I'm pretty sure I will cry at some point. We all know I'm a blubber. So our story begins on a full moon in September 2022. I met someone who changed my life, but not in a way we can clap for him. More of a blessing and a curse, but it has been a major catalyst in my life. I'm not saying I'm grateful to this person for these things, but I think that the reactions, things I did, were as a response to a lot of things that happened. So I met a guy online. First off, really fancied him. He's very good looking. But I was already talking to someone else, charismatic and good looking, when he popped up. He's very attractive. He looks like the rapper G-Eazy, to give you an idea. He's 6'2", got a very deep Pop Smoke, Barry White kind of voice. I just didn't pay him much mind at first, honestly, because he was so good looking. And I just rudely thought it might be just a surface attraction on my part, because I'm all about connection with someone. I need to fancy them, but it's your mind that I'm going to fall in love with over everything. However, next thing I know, we are on the phone, and the first call, we speak for 8 hours, even to our most recent interactions. When we reconnect, this is a common thing. Our first conversations were literally about aliens and pyramids, mad spiritual shit, because that's how I roll. I have to fully unleash how much of a strange one I am, almost as some sort of test of weirdness, because I'm just not normal and I don't plan on being normal. In terms of dating, I have realised that I might spend a substantial amount of time or the rest of my life with that person. I mean, who knows in this day and age? So it's important I consider, is this someone I'd even want to be friends with? Like, not about how they look. I need for them to be as weird or, I don't know, just there with me. I just can't do normal. We met up very shortly after that. And it was out of this world. It was so good. It was like time stopped. We were in this weird little bubble. And afterwards, I completely freaked out. And so did he. All of my abandonment issues came up in such a big way. I got so overwhelmed with how much I liked him. It was just too much. But this is a common theme for me. But this was times 1,000. It was like on steroids, because every element of what I wanted, liked about someone was there. And I just ran away from it. The year he and I met, his mum had passed. During the time of us knowing each other, his close friend committed suicide. So I can't even imagine what he was going through mentally. I feel like I'm almost relaying a dirty little secret because you guys know most of the things that have been going on with me since I started the podcast. It's been pretty straightforward. Even some of my friends didn't know about this because it was never a linear, stable relationship even. It was two people triggering each other, running away from each other. It was just a weird one. I was dating other people, you know, trying to get over this person. I was single. It just never was anything linear, but we'd always gravitate back to each other. I digress. This is quite awkward. As you know, I'm obsessed with music. I feel like that is like one of my love languages. He is the same. And we used to communicate through songs we would send each other. There'd be a lot of messages in the lyrics. I remember another time we were together and he said that the song that reminded him of me was Get You the Moon by Keena, because when I met him, he was going through so much. And also during the time that we, you know, we were seeing each other, whatever. And the lyrics are like, you gave me a shoulder when I needed it. You showed me love when I wasn't feeling it. You helped me fight when I was giving in. And you made me laugh when I was losing it. And it's basically saying like, you're the reason why I'm still here, like hanging on. And I don't know, it's moon associations as well. It just really got me. There were many synchronicities, always have been around us meeting. I like to shut them down and be really rational about it, but they're there. His only child, who he adores and he's really dedicated to, him and I have the same birthday. I won't bore you with the synchronicities. There are many, but maybe I just created them in the throes of emotion. I don't know. Basically, meeting this guy triggered so many of my biggest wounds and abandonment issues. It wasn't like he was out here doing anything other than being lovely to me. But what would happen is that we would hit up against all of each other's issues. So we would alternate between one of us running away, then the other one running away. But no matter what happens, we always ended up coming back together. It was just this obsessive back and forth where someone mirrors back to you all your triggers and issues. But with this person, I also felt the most calmest, most seen and loved version of me I think I've ever felt. I think some of those moments were the closest feeling and understanding of love, aside family love, I've ever felt. And in those moments, I never have loved myself more too. When we would run from each other, I just wouldn't want to speak to him. It was too overwhelming. But I would also get overwhelmed with the separation and what the relationship kept showing me. It became a catalyst last summer for me to finally open up to my counsellor on the initial deepest wound that I have from my teenage years and thoroughly going through it. And after working with her for 7 years and other counsellors in my life since a teen who could never get it out of me, I finally got it out and worked through it. And it was the most liberating thing ever, literally life-changing. So after I first met him and our first running away experience, I felt so triggered and I went into such a dark place that I realized I needed to see what I could do. And like one of my first thoughts was, I really need to experience some endorphins, anything that can make me feel happier. I didn't even care about losing weight. And that's why I started weightlifting. Like, you'd have heard me talking about that. That changed my life because I finally got out of my head and my body and my mind like had a connection. Plus all those endorphins, and I began to feel more confident in myself and my body. Like, my body's changed so much. every time me and this guy would see each other, speak, whatever, there were so many triggers, so many ways our issues would rub up against each other's. It was madness, but we just couldn't leave each other alone. There was a time we didn't speak for a while, and in my mind, it was done. So me and a friend of mine, a fellow witch, went out to the woods last autumn, and I carried out a cut the cord spell, and I went all out. I was talking to her about how I wanted him to meet someone else. I was really like at a point where I was like, yep, yeah, I'm fine with this. It was very intense. But that night, oh my goodness, after weeks and weeks of no contact, he messaged me that actual night. It's like you can feel the other person pull away. I was like, no fucking way, not after all this work I've done, me questioning all my abilities as a witch. But genuinely, it's like he felt the energy pull away. There was another time I blocked him for ages out of self-preservation. I just couldn't do it, couldn't talk to him, couldn't cope with the back and forth, the obsession. It was ridiculous. But there was one night I was yearning to speak to him. It was like I just couldn't get the whole feeling out of my brain. And I unblocked him, but I didn't reach out. And I know that's a really immature thing for me to do, but I kid you not, 30 seconds after I had unblocked him, he messaged me. It's like he knew. I don't know. It's just the oddest thing. I'm not convinced there is any happy ending to the story with him and I, but I do know I do love him. And sometimes you can love someone even from afar if you aren't meant to be together. But one thing I do know is meeting him has been a catalyst for so many amazing things for me. I can't comment on his experience of our connection, but I have seen him make big changes. I know he is going through a lot in the aftermath of two huge losses in his life and grieving. I know, and I hate to say it, the twin flame tag gets thrown around a lot. And I know, if I were to read a definition of what they are, I reckon I could tick every box. But I'm open to leaving it that we both signed some contract before we came here that would trigger both of us into doing the work and learning about ourselves. I also am not surprised that I learned these lessons through a romantic relationship. I used to be ashamed to say it, but all of my hardest lessons have come through romantic relationships. The rest of my life in terms of other areas has seemed to be a lot easier. Maybe I was an absolute tosser in a former life in terms of love and relationships. Maybe I was this Lothario out here breaking hearts, and that's why I'm going through this in this lifetime. Who knows? Just to say, this episode isn't purely about romantic relationships. We are looking at soul contracts in all areas of our lives. There's no in the middle with me. There's always an extreme when it comes to anything in life. I either have no fucks to give, or I am a wild-eyed, deeply passionate nutter about it. Grieving love is the same, and I go through points of raging or crying or being really relieved that I'm not in the middle of that situation. I'll be out here listening to Amy Winehouse or Halsey or reading poetry in bed at 3 a.m, crying my eyes out. And the next morning I wake up as if nothing happened. I genuinely believe this contract may have been fulfilled, but that may be because I'm starting to feel as though I'm growing past the lessons this contract has given me. Perhaps I was only meant to be there for him when his grief was as fresh as it was. I just truly want him to be happy. I want him to be loved. I want him to have all that he should in life. I keep coming back to the Maya Angelou quote, "When you know better, you do better." And I'd like to think that I now understand what this contract is all about, and hopefully I can move from it. As much as I adore this person, I just can't see that they are going to be someone I can move forward with in life. Sometimes what someone is offering you isn't going to align with the next version of you or what your higher self needs for both of us, and that's okay. I know this is a lot to lay out on you, witches. If I'm honest, maybe I needed this pain at this time to come up with some new content. I've got some different topics that I've got planned for the forthcoming weeks that is around alchemizing pain in all its forms, looking at healing and making changes, because we all go through it. And this is what led me to want to look at soul contracts and what they really are all about. So this is everything that I researched, and you may believe in all of it, you may believe in some of it or none of it. Nevertheless, I will relay it all and see what you think. Soul contracts play a huge role in how we shape up as a person in our lifetime. Before we are born, our soul goes through an incubation period where, with the assistance of our spirit guides, we have roundtable-like discussions looking at our past lives, past relationships with other souls, and the themes and lessons that we as a soul are exploring across several lifetimes. During this period, we will prepare our soul for the main objectives, missions, and purposes that are set for our soul to learn and grow through. This will take into consideration the karma we also need to work through to help our soul grow. We will draw up contracts with other souls that we will encounter in this lifetime in order to highlight the lessons and experiences we need to go through. Intense relationships we experience will often be karmic relationships that have been pre-planned for spiritual conflicts to help two souls resolve past life conflicts or challenges. Our soul contract is said to take into account the type of physical incarnation that will best support our soul to develop, grow, and gain realizations within the physical world. The planning process for everyone's soul is personal, and soul contracts are unique. When we incarnate on Earth, it is said we experience soul amnesia, which prevents us from being overwhelmed with our past and is like a soft reset. It might be that we haven't experienced love how we have wanted to in our lifetimes, so we might experience a lot of hatred. Perhaps our lesson is to learn patience. So instead of being surrounded with sages or monks, we have annoying siblings or relatives that torment us. It might be that people put us down so we learn to stand up for ourselves. We might be abandoned when we need someone most, which will teach us how to be strong and independent. We may be shown how bad it feels to be loved with conditions, to teach us unconditional love. We will be given the opposite. Through denying us these things, the universe sets out our path to discover these virtues the hard way, but said to be the right way. This is such a difficult topic to discuss because there are horrendous things that happen to people, and some may not believe soul contracts to be a thing. One might ask, why would my soul choose such a difficult life? But it is said suffering happens where we resist the most. Very hard to swallow. The soul contract is based on a simple principle. By being hurt and left out in the cold, we can find valuable spiritual insights. We learn how to care for ourselves and others and be true to our inner values. The universe will subject us to experiences we are said to have agreed to endure before being born. This is so difficult to consider, and I'm struggling with it, but it is said our aim was to learn lessons on high value concepts such as love, peace, compassion, and patience. that if we can accept everything is a bit like an elaborate play, we can let go of the suffering our life and relationships bring us. We can work on using our pain as a guiding light to the deeper wounds that are surfacing and asking us to heal. The first step of spiritual growth is pain and feeling out of balance or alignment. We will find ourselves thrown into difficult situations that will test us, and our adversities are as powerful as our wish to learn a specific lesson. We will start to learn how to deal with our troubles, cope with our pain, along with learn how to connect with people in similar situations to us. This helps us to evolve and grow as souls and return to our authentic self with necessary acquired tools we have gained along the way. Any lessons we learn in this lifetime will carry across all our incarnations and help our soul to become empowered, empathic, and enlightened. The path is far from linear. It's a spiral instead of a straight line, and we continuously will return to things we thought we understood to see deeper truths. Understanding soul contracts and their different types can help us see why relationships pan out the way they needed to. We need to remember the people who hurt us, betray us, inflict pain on us, are upholding their end of the soul contract and are members of our soul family, or beings we have some sort of unsettled karma with. All part of a divine plan that shows us pain and hurt, offers us a chance to learn and grow. The continuation of growth on the flip side can be the continuation of pain, suffering, and hardships. The universe wants us to keep growing, and our soul does too. So the universe will keep sending us lessons. The universe will reward us when we learn a more difficult lesson. Each time we solve one problem, a bigger problem will often present itself. This can be frustrating and painful on our journey, but can also fulfill and enrich our lives. Should we resist or bypass the lessons, we will only prolong our journey and keep coming back to fulfill our unfinished soul contract. Some of us carry old souls, and certain souls have been back many times, carrying the same burden because we haven't embodied the lesson. Our soul has been sent back to complete the contract. It could also be our soul is returned to help someone else holding the same lesson so that you can positively evolve and improve your own. Our soul contracts exert an energetic influence, drawing us to the people, places, and events required to fulfill them. Some of these contracts will breathe love and joy into our journey, others challenges and sorrow. If a soul contract is not satisfied on the journey, it may carry over into another journey. All soul contracts are said to be created and sealed with a bond of love, even the ones that cause pain. The ultimate goal of all souls is to have full capacity to experience, give, and receive unconditional love of the universe. We are each said to have a soul song that is our unique energy signature that makes us who we are. It sings a song of notes that are as complex and distinct as a symphony. It's like the invisible handshake of your soul that we exchange with all we meet on our journey. A spiritual means of introducing ourselves. A way we can get to know and identify each other's souls that we have exchanged a contract with. Our soul family is said to be everyone we share a soul contract with, whether or not they appear in this journey as our biological family. We find our soul family through our soul song, as our souls recognize the parts of the melody that match. Sometimes we might meet someone and know in minutes. They might be a lifelong friend without exchanging many words. This takes place because they are soul family and have a soul contract with us. It might last for a moment, an experience, a season, or a lifetime. Everyone we have a significant relationship with is someone we have made a soul contract with. We have a soul contract with our parents, siblings, spouse, future spouse, children. They are always soul contracts with no exception to that rule. Since they play such an important role in our life, their main traits and habits will directly influence our life. They cannot be randomly assigned to us. They are souls we were meant to have a strong bond with. Knowing these relationships are all based on soul contracts with previously written and agreed to can definitely make us look at them differently. This is a quote from Magnetize Yourself. When you meet someone that you share a soul contract with, the pull will be undeniable and irresistible. Irrespective of your circumstances, obstacles, or reasons why you couldn't or shouldn't be connecting with one another, the agreement etched into the ether between your souls will align you against all odds. There will be an instantaneous familiarity that leads to a deep, unshakable curiosity and the need to know the other. It is as though your souls are saying, I remember you from some other place and time, and I need to know your name and face and identity in this lifetime because I recognize your energy so strongly. Logic does not apply. These connections involve such an intense transfer of energy that these waves of energy overpower the ego mind and therefore often cause us to act or think in ways that others may even call irrational. I always think of that meme and it says something like, I now know in this lifetime why I stopped speaking to you in 1771. Experienced that with so many people. This is said to be signs that you are in a soul contract. A feeling of just knowing you care deeply for this person. You can completely be yourself with this person. You recognize that this person is also your teacher. They challenge you. You may be extra sensitive and feel obsessed with them. You may break up and get back together again and again unknowingly. Abuse and misuse of each other's emotions will be there. You will get to realize your shadow self. You will feel a strong connection between time and space. You are struggling to break free of frustrating patterns like sabotage, depression, codependency, worry, or anger. You feel unsure of your purpose. You wonder why you keep experiencing the same setbacks. So, what if you aren't happy with a soul contract that you are experiencing? It is said that you can shape and evolve it on many levels, that the soul contracts can be thought of as being like a tree or river with many different pathways that we can take. If our close relationships are difficult and full of tension, is there a way we can look at them differently? Or can we try to focus now on what the lesson is and what it is trying to teach us? Perhaps this can help us feel more empowered. Sounds so much easier said than done. I'm certainly going through this year with a family member. So it is said that we are assigned spirit guides to support this path, helpers who are called wayfinders or pathfinders, and many have been with us since our birth. They are said to be in charge of sending us signs to make sure we are on the right path. These can come through our dreams, within our body, or our energy field. They are with us as we learn the lessons we came here for. I love that thought. Events can also be wayfinders for us too. So in terms of breaking a soul contract, I saw a lot of conflicting information on this. Firstly, that to break a soul contract might mean that you are no longer following the path you decided on, that distractions are the main way that people end up coming off of their soul path that don't normally feel very good. However, nature has a funny way of doing things and showing us where our soul needs to go. It is said you can pray and meditate to ask your guides about a soul contract to seek support and answers. I found a very good article on a website called lunarenchanted.com. I will link this in the show notes. Revocation of your soul or sacred contracts is possible. You may cancel that which you no longer accept, desire, or want. Your vibration is shifting, as is your perspective. Your agreements are null and void. There is a new day. You are no longer helpless. You can consciously change and shift your energy to align your soul with your purpose. You no longer have to carry energetic baggage and outdated contracts made out of commitments and possibly duress. Declaring your sovereignty is the first step in order to break three of these prior requirements. You can reverse these contracts, make them null and void, and take back your power and free will. You can awaken and align your energy to your higher self. Whatever you think you have to do or become is only an illusion. You are already moving away from these preconceived notions. You are simply blind to the power that is your own. You are seeing a distorted image, and when you clear away this image, you can awaken to your true potential and power. Some contracts we are tricked into, and it is important to revoke these. Some of us experience abusive relationships or get stuck in an energy pattern that requires us to repeat past mistakes. You can change this and break free from this matrix. You have the power to erase any and all mistakes. Break free from binds that hold you to relationships that hurt you or impair you. We are energy, and energy can be changed and shifted. You can attract what you desire and align with your soul's frequency. You have the ability to step into alignment with your authentic self. You no longer have to accept the lords of karma at work in your life. You can break free of the illusion. You are in charge and can design your own life. The following soul contract revocation is a get out of jail free card. It is a declaration statement that helps you to begin the process of breaking three of all contracts. Agreements, bindings, allegiances, alliances, and commitments that are not in alignment with your soul's purpose. Do not be afraid to change the energy of your life. It is scary, as is all change, but at the other side of this awakening is a life full of possibilities, happiness, and authenticity. In the name of I am that I am, in the name of my divine soul presence, and in the presence of my spirit guides and all divine beings of light, I, state your name, decree, declare, command, and intend to cancel all contracts, agreements, bindings, alliances, allegiances, and commitments that are not of my highest good, in line with my vibration and detrimental to my life's purpose. I am a sovereign being, no longer influenced by the lords of karma. I am in authentic alignment with my soul's frequency and choose and design my own life with free will. So be it, and so it is. I really had to not go into Stormzy's song when I said, state your name, cuz, what are we doing today? Fire in the park, repping. Anyway, sorry. This is what, oh my God, my brain, I don't know where my brain goes. This is from at Blue Lotus Motivation 777, end of soul contracts. A silent alarm has gone off in the spirit realm and it is signaling the end of some relationships, soul contracts in your life. You might have tried to do everything to keep these relationships, or maybe some kind of shift has happened and you instinctively know that you must distance yourself. Listen to your gut. Follow the messages you are receiving. These relationships have now expired. You have learned all that you need to learn from this situation, and it's time to release and keep moving. Send love and healing to those you are releasing. By moving on from these soul contracts, you will raise your vibration and align yourself to your soul family.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
So at the beginning of the podcast, I mentioned that there would likely be tears from me, but there haven't been any tears. And I'll tell you why, because before I started recording, I did myself a oracle card reading just because it's something I always do in the morning. And I cried a ton doing that because the cards I got were so on point. It was ridiculous. And I actually thought, you know what, I'm going to share this with the collective because I really feel that it's really poignant with what we've been talking about on this episode. And, you know, I know that I can't read other people's tarot cards for toffee. You can call me more like Septic Peg than Mystic Meg. But here we go. I feel like there's some witch out, one of our witches needs to hear this. So the first card I got, I don't know why I'm doing this, but bear with me, is Groundhog Spirit, which is all about time to let go. Oracle message. Endings lead to beginnings and death is a part of life. So Groundhog Spirit is here to let you know that it is time to accept the natural ending of something that is no longer serving you. We love to hold on to what is familiar, but the new needs space to arrive so growth can occur. When Groundhog Spirit appears, it is a sign there is something in your present situation that you need to let go of so that something new can be born, something that will far better serve you now. When the groundhog sees his shadow, he retreats to his den. So too might you yearn for a little more time to say goodbye and transition into the new. However, change is coming and it is good. So let go of your resistance. Spring brings many blessings, and what must die will always be reborn in a new form that will be right for you. Life requires change and detachment. Say farewell to whatever once served you and get ready for something amazing to take its place. Spirit is already sending it your way. Have you been relentless in your efforts to revive something that is past its prime and needs to die away? A situation, a relationship, a belief or a habit that served you once but no longer fills you with vitality. Perhaps you automatically expect to see the world through a specific lens based on the familiar. Groundhog Spirit has appeared to let you know it's time to accept that the past is the past. So allow yourself to feel the loss and grieve it if you need to. Any sadness will not last forever or overwhelm you. Knowing Spirit is with you and wants you to experience joy and excitement again will help you through this transition from the old to the new. Keep your eyes open, for winter always gives way to spring, and endings always give birth to beginnings. For now, let yourself feel your emotions, releasing them to make way for the joy that awaits you. Spring and new growth are on their way, for that is Spirit's promise to you. Then we had Bobcat Spirit, Life is a Mystery. And again, this is all about trusting in the surrendering process. The Bobcat moves furtively and mysteriously. And when Bobcat Spirit appears to you, she brings a powerful reminder that not all things in life can be explained or understood through the power of the intellect. Trying to figure things out, find logical explanations, or predict what will happen based on reason and facts will not provide you with the certainty and comfort you seek. Bobcat asks you to trust in the great mystery and let the secrets of the universe reveal themselves to you through direct experience. Allow your vision to slip into soft focus and you will see between the lines and observe what has been hidden there all along. Bobcat Spirit helps you know intimately the pulse of the divine in the world. Trust in the wisdom and revelations that come to you, yet know that understanding may not come as you would like it to. What you experience through your heart and intuition, which comes to you as the voice of your inner knowing, will guide you now as you accept that secrecy is woven into the fabric of existence. No matter what the appearance of Bobcat Spirit is, a sign that you are being called to trust, even when what is revealed does not agree with your need for intellectual certainty. And our last card, seen as a future card, is Rabbit Spirit. Now is a lucky time. A sunny meadow calls and Rabbit Spirit appears to lead you out of your dark warren and into the light so that you can participate in a fertile and beautiful experience. It may seem safe below ground, but the magic happens when you come out and take the risk of being vulnerable and co-creating something new. You are being invited into a new life that you have no experience with. But have no fear. Today is also a time to be fruitful and productive as you enjoy Rabbit Spirit's sunny and prolific energy. At this time, whatever you intend to bring to life will find fertile ground. There are no mistakes really when you are co-creating with Spirit. So let new ideas spring to the surface, knowing that now is a lucky time of tremendous possibility. Vulnerability is required of you now, even if you don't feel safe. Act as if you trust that you will be okay, and soon you will see that you are okay. To create is to take risks. So at this fortunate, fertile time, banish your fears and recognize the real security is in immersing yourself in the process of co-creation. It's okay to admit that you really don't know how to deal with whatever is in front of you. This is where curiosity and not knowing can be a wonderful state of mind. Be playful now, admitting you are at the beginning of something. Come on out to frolic in the sun's nurturing light, because it is time to birth something new. And I feel like with the solar eclipse and Mercury in retrograde and all that stuff that is going on, I feel like a lot of us are leaving behind a lot of baggage, perhaps cutting a lot of cords. And that oracle card reading for me was all about letting go, surrendering, and accepting that there will be something better for you ahead, being vulnerable, starting in the new once you've gone through the healing process. And I guess that is kind of where I am at this point right now. I hope that that might have meant something to some of you, but I just felt the call to relay that message today. just call me Septic Peg. That is all I have for you today, witches. I am so grateful for all your listens, lovely messages. Always love to hear from you. I'm going to be really cheeky and ask if you enjoy the show, if you love the show, if you would please give me a review. I'd be so grateful. 5-star reviews are always, always coveted. And of course, if you can leave me any comments on like Apple Podcasts or anything like that, I'd be so grateful because it really helps me with the podcast and what I'm doing. If you would like more content, you can always come over to my Patreon, the Witches Institute. Tons of Patreon podcast episodes, folklore retellings, hedge witch studies, meditations, just a ton of extra content. And of course, we have our wonderful witchy community on Discord as well. I will catch up with you all soon, witches. Got some really exciting follow-on episodes from what we've talked about today. But for now, have a great week, and I'm sending you lots and lots of witchy love.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.